The IAB presents the Simplify and Inspire podcast.
How do we make it simple?
Try to stop a lot of the buzzwords.
A chance to change the way a whole industry works.
For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.
Hello and welcome to the IAB Simplify and Inspire podcasts. I'm joined today by Shane Mantisky, MD of Nielsen Sport. G'day, Shane. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, BJ.
Thank you for spending some time with us. I also want to make sure that you're all aware that the IAB Sports Seminar is taking place on the 16th of May, Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. at Telstra on George Street. And this is a bit of an opportunity for us to talk about how digital has changed sport and sport media consumption. But before we get into that, I always like to get a bit of insight into the person. Shane, could you give us a bit of a potted history into your background? What's your journey to Nielsen Digital Sports?
Originally came through chartered accounting, which is a little dark secret that I hide from most people.
Can understand that.
But I pretty quickly worked out that chartered accounting wasn't where I was going to end up, and managed to get out, focus more on strategy, make my way into the NRL actually, and help them across a range of different strategic projects. And one of the things that I did very early on was take control of the NRL.com asset and try and figure out how we could actually, as a sport at the NRL, how we could monetize that and really drive that to engage people. And this is back in the days of websites being talked about in terms of narrowcast websites versus broadband websites. So I've seen a lot of development there, and that's been a real interest of mine over the time. And around 4 years ago, I left the NRL, went into really focus on media rights negotiation and the digital space, and then found my way into firstly a company called Repicom that worked heavily across all sport. And then Nielsen acquired Repicom 12 months ago, and here I am at Nielsen.
Fantastic. Well, it's brilliant to have someone who's grounded and an expert in the topic. Let's get straight into it. I guess one of the reasons we're here and the reason we felt that it was important to put together a seminar on the topic is the fact that anecdotally we're seeing sports consumption changing rapidly here in Australia, like we are seeing all media consumption. Can you start to give us a flavour for how sports consumption is changing and the role of digital in that?
I think from a sport point of view, it's been really interesting when one of the things we do at Nielsen Sports is track interest in sport over time. And over the last 5 years, we've seen the level of interest in a number of sports decline. So when you talk to people and you ask them how many sports they're interested in, that's actually reducing. So people are narrowing their focus on sports, and that's come down from around 7 to 5 over that period of time. But the interesting thing is that's not all dire. What's really happening is people are narrowing their focus on the number of sports they're interested in, but they're getting much deeper into those sports. So their level of passion around sports is increasing.
Is there a reason why that's happening?
Look, in some ways, when you're interested in a sport, there's so many ways now you can consume that sport. So you move from a world where 15 years ago you watched a free-to-air broadcast about that sport and you may have read the newspaper. Now you can do all of that, but of course you can drill right down to everything your team's doing outside of game day, right down to what breakfast cereal or movie your favourite players into. So there's just so much content to consume, and it's so easy to access that people are finding to be deeply involved in that sport, they actually have to reduce their level of interest in other sports.
Is there also a mental shift in terms of it's not just about the participation of the sport, but sport as a kind of lifestyle entertainment choice? I'm just trying to get my head around the sort of shift in attitude. And does it mean that over time, existing sport fans might have dropped a sport as they focus? Or is this just for new entrants coming into the sports consumption?
One of the interesting things is when we look at what people are actually consuming, they're consuming more, particularly the millennials, they're consuming around 10 sports when you question them on consumption, but they claim to be fans of only 4. A little bit of that, I think, is also the way millennials represent themselves. They profile themselves on social media. They promote the sports they're engaged with. So they see the sport as being almost an extension of their personality. So I think they're also being choosy about which sports they attach themselves to, and that's one of the things that's driving that narrowing of focus.
Right. And then let's start with the millennials. How is their sports consumption changing? What channels are they using to consume sports, and are they using them in different ways?
Yeah, absolutely. They're using every channel, basically. They're reducing consumption. We all know they're reducing consumption of television content, traditional linear content, but they're highly engaged in social channels. They're searching the internet for, you know, whether it's clips or whether it's streams of content. Good example is probably the A-League Grand Final, where there's huge engagement in social media during the playing of that Grand Final. It led the week in terms of social media engagement, well above the AFL games and NRL games. So a lot of that will be driven out of that typical profile of the A-League fan, which is much, much younger than the NRL or AFL fan.
Does that mean then the consumption profile is quite different by sport, even amongst a particular audience?
It is different by sport, particularly when you step into some of the American sports, for instance. There's a high level of engagement through digital channels, whether it's social media or whether it's the digital passes that sports like the NFL or NBA are now delivering. Those sports are skewing much younger than the traditional sports like AFL or NRL. So you've got, or even cricket perhaps, those sports have an older average profile, much more likely to be consumed through traditional channels, whether it's pay TV, free-to-air, print media. However, those sports also recognise the need to drive into the younger demographic to make sure that they're making content available through social channels, through their digital platforms. And the media organisations that sit around those sports are also recognising that. So you're seeing a huge investment through News Limited, Fairfax, and also Fox Sports and the free-to-air channels.
Can you give us examples of any actual key data points that underpin this shift in how sport's being consumed?
Look, I think kind of if you were to evidence that, you'd look at the investment that's coming through AFL and NRL. So NRL's announced an investment in their digital media unit, and that's what's being reported is it's $120 million over the next 5 years, which is a pretty significant sum for any organisation. So a huge investment into building out their digital assets, controlling that relationship they have with their fans, and actually building capability to be able to be a true platform for content. So those investments are really, really significant. Then you look, I touch on the social ratings that Nielsen produces each week. Those, as I said there, if you're the A-League, for instance, you can see the demonstration of their power at that younger level. They had 211,000 engagements through the period of the A-League broadcast, which was around 50,000 ahead of, you know, the other sports. So they can demonstrate to their sponsors and to all their stakeholders that power they have in the younger demographics really pulling through and demonstrating value. And I think in the longer term, so you move to that medium or longer term, a sport like A-League would say, whilst they're not the most powerful sport on free-to-air television or subscription television, and when we look at our rankings for that the week just past when the grand final ran, they didn't sit at the top of the tree. But in the medium to longer term, they would say that digital engagement they're getting evidences the fact that they're going to be a much more powerful sport in the future.
And is it as you would expect in terms of the platforms or the devices that are used outside of the TV? Is it all mobile device, or do you see, you know, do tablets or do other platforms play a role? What does that sort of hierarchy look like?
We know from the Nielsen's quarterly report, the Australian multi-screen report that's produced with Oztam, that homes now have over 6 screens. Only 1.9 of those screens is a traditional television screen, and everything's basically connected. Clearly, the mobile phone's becoming much, much more dominant in terms of usage, but sports are looking to other connected devices to deliver their content, and netball's probably the best, most recent example with their new broadcast deal, in which they're the first sport that's actually taken content and exclusively put it on a digital platform. In the past, there's been a lot of content that's been made available digitally on a simulcast basis, but netball, they've got 4 games each week. 2 of those games are on Channel 9, so they've got a free-to-air platform delivering them maximum exposure. And then the other 2 games that they're playing are actually exclusively on Telstra's TV service. So that content really is being delivered to a tablet or a desktop or through the Roku 2 device that Telstra's got in market to your large screen TV.
is that a bit of a shift or a trend where the media owner themselves is actually looking at what content, what sports content they put on each channel? So I don't think it's the first time there's been, say, unique content that's been fed to a smartphone or to a connected TV. Would that be right?
It is the first time that's happened.
Right.
It's not, to my knowledge, particularly for domestic, you know, Australian sports. In the broadcast of sport, you're seeing a real separation where the big sports, AFL, NRL, cricket, tennis, they're drawing huge rights fees and the big traditional media organisations, on top of their rights fees, they're investing so much in production and support that they have a limited capacity to support what you'd call perhaps second-tier sports or the sports that sit below that. Those sports no longer can rely on a rights fee from broadcasters, and they're now looking at other means to connect with their fans, but also commercialise their fan base as well. And that's driving them to look more closely at digital platforms. And that's really what Netball's done. They've
They've
created a partnership with Telstra to enable them to not just deliver a stream directly through Telstra TV, but also just draw on the power of Telstra in terms of their expertise and the digital assets they hold to go out and promote their... They've got a game pass that sits on mobile devices as well that's delivered in partnership with Telstra. And they're really looking to drive exposure and grow their fan base through digital platforms, knowing that the exposure that they can get through traditional platforms is more challenged given that focus that the big broadcasters have on the big sports.
Right. So basically what you're saying is that there are up-and-coming growing sports like netball that might take a kind of digital-first approach. You've equally got existing sports. I think, if I recall rightly, the tennis actually ran certain games on some of the outside courts only to a digital device.
Yeah, correct. That's right. So the interesting thing for them is, again, you draw back in time. They had one, you know, when I'm going a long way back in time, there was one free-to-air channel that Channel 7 would have had that they would have pushed out one court and they would have just simply balanced that. You move to a multi-channel environment and they're providing two different streams. You move to a digital environment and they've now got the capability, particularly through broadcast technology where you can broadcast cost-effectively. They can have a camera on every single court during that first week and potentially give a consumer the ability to switch between any of those courts. And that's, yeah, that is a product that tennis rolled out. And they did that in partnership with Channel 7, but it does point to what the future of broadcast could be like. Really, it comes back to allowing the consumer to just actually choose which content they want to use. And you see smaller examples of that in the bigger sports in terms of technology that's come and been experimented with where fans can start to choose which angle, for instance, they want to, which camera angle they want to see during a major event broadcast, or do they want to switch into some sort of behind-the-scenes action rather than what's happening on the pitch? So those things have been happening for some time, and they are good examples of both the sports and media organisations trying to deepen their engagement and connect more deeply with the people that are interested in those sports.
And those sorts of new functionalities, and you know, you're seeing every now and again some phenomenal uses of technology in terms of things like ref cam as well as player cam. What's the actual data saying there? Is that novelty, or are there decent numbers of consumers actually engaging through those new tech?
I think when you look at the data, you'd say that the majority of people are still consuming the traditional broadcast feed, but we really see those complementary services, whether it's an additional stats feed or whether it's just other data points that are coming through. So whether it's visualization of a game, whether it's television, camera feeds, etc., they're complementary and they're really being used to drive a deeper engagement with the broadcast rather than being something that's actually driving significant numbers of consumers through that unique piece of content.
And I'm wondering, as technology creates all of these options and media owners and rights owners are shifting onto more digital platforms, how are you seeing the market in terms of how are brands shifting how they use their different platforms?
Well, one of the things we see firstly is that brands are looking at sport differently now to what they would have done 10 years ago. And we talk more now about alignment partnerships versus exposure partnerships. And what I mean by that is 10 years ago, you would have seen brands traditionally align with a sport because they wanted to be associated with an athlete or a team or a league. And you move now to what the media landscape looks like, and we all know that it's fragmenting. So there's a whole new range of brands, a new consort that are looking for exposure, and they're really trying to collect together as many eyeballs as they can, and nothing collects eyeballs like big sports events, and they're using that platform to launch their brand. So these are brands that may not have been associated with sport in the past, but they're now moving into that environment and really leveraging the power of these big sports events.
And to what extent are the brands looking for and leveraging any data that digital devices and platforms can provide as part of that journey?
They're very interested in ultimately looking to an ROI type model. And part of when you move along that journey, you move from, draw back 10 years, it was more, A, is my brand on the front of a jersey or on the fence sign? And is the corporate hospitality good? You're moving through now to, okay, we understand that, but how many eyeballs am I reaching through that brand exposure, which is really a lot of what the business I've been working in traditionally did. Then moving into, okay, tell me about the data points. So what are my opportunities to engage directly with the people that are associated with the sport? And that's where you see a big investment from the sports in terms of controlling or building databases and controlling those databases. So there's been some massive CRM investments across the major sports, and that's now starting to flow into the smaller sports as well. And then they're moving, ultimately moving to an ROI response. So they actually want to understand not just what sort of media exposure did I get and how many people am I talking to, but how is that actually impacting my bottom line? So can I demonstrate a change in sales or a shift in perceptions around my brand? Or depends on the driver of that particular brand, but there are models being put in place. And that's a lot of the work we're doing now. There's models being put in place to actually track those indexes, particularly looking at sales, so that the person managing sponsorship can come back into the CEO's office, or probably more importantly, the CFO's office, and say, look, I can demonstrate that this investment we've made into sport is actually delivering a real return for us.
Fantastic. Shane, thank you for coming in and for the insights, and look forward to seeing you at the IAB Digital in Sports seminar next week. Thanks again.
Thanks, Vijay.
The IAB Simplify and Inspire podcast. For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.